voorreg vir oggend om by mekaar te kan kom en daai waarhede te kan sing in ons midde. Dankie vir wie u is. Here, dankie vir dit wat u reeds vir ons gedoen het en ons sien daarna uit vir dit wat u nog steeds gaan doen in die toekoms van die kerk, in ons lewens persoonlik. Here, ons dankie vir wie u is en die werking van die Heilige Gees. Dankie, Here Jesus Christus, vir die voltooide werk van die kruis, wat ons die vrymoed gee om na die troonkamer van genade te kan kom vanoggend en sê, Abba Vader, hier is ek, 'n kind van die Here. Ons dankie vir wie is, ons dankie vir u teenwoordigheid in ons midde. U woord gee vir ons die geskrewe waarborg, waar twee of meer vergader is in u teenwoordigheid, Here. In u naam is u teenwoordigheid daarso. En ons dankie vir daai voorreg. Heilige Gees, werk in ons midde, werk in ons harte vanoggend. In die naam van Jesus Christus. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Folks, we just want to share with you this morning that if you share a household with somebody and your spouses or whatever from the same household, there's no reason why you cannot break the 1.5 meter distance. You're more than welcome to do that. You are not breaking the law by doing that. I just want to encourage you with that. So, ladies, if you want your hubbies to hold your hands, or gents, if you want your wives to give you a drikkie, you are more than welcome to do so. All right, bless you. Dion soek vir iemand daarso. Dis weer vir ons 'n voorreg om tyd saam met julle te kan deurbring in hierdie gebou vanoggend. For the folks here and the folks next door and our online audience watching at home, welcome. I trust that the Lord is going to meet you at your point of need and speak His word into your heart. We love and appreciate you. God bless you. God is good in spite of lockdown. Amen. God is good. It hasn't changed who He is. If you got your Bibles, turn with me, or you got your phones or whatever, you follow the Bible on, turn with me in the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. How many of you, as you're turning there, have lost something in life that's like really, really like important to you? Either there's like financial value or there's of sentimental value, and you search and you search and you search for the thing and you just can't find it, but that thing is like lost. How many of you have experienced that? Okay, a couple of you. That joke that God says, out of all the things I've lost, I've missed my mind the most. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 reads as follows. Scriptures I'm reading this morning come from the New Living Translation, second edition. It says, seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him while He is near. This suggests that there's going to come a time in our lives when we will seek for God. Guess what? We can't find Him. It suggests there's going to come a time when we're going to call on the Lord and He's not going to be near. But how does that then work? As die Here alomteenwoordig is, how can God not be found? How can God not be near? If He's omnipresent, how can that scripture hold true? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on the Lord while He is near. That gives us the message that, folks, that somehow, even if He's omnipresent, there's going to come a time when we seek for the Lord and we're not going to find Him. There's going to come a time when we long for the Lord's presence and He's not going to be near. Here are a few ways in which this scripture can come true in our lives, where the Lord will not be anywhere near to be found. And we will not sense His presence. Point number one, in no particular order. When we're not looking for the Lord in our lives on a daily basis, wanneer ons net eenvoudig deur die lewe gaan and not even looking for the hand of the Lord. I watched a movie of encouragement this week, and the youngster, a teenage boy, says to his mom, how can you even believe in miracles? I don't even see any miracles. And his mother says, but have you looked for them? A simple thing, like the fact that you woke up this morning, that is a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that this planet is suspended in space, is spinning on its axis, and is not totally out of control and meteorites and asteroids bombarding into us, other planets colliding with us. Dink jy daai goed gebeur net so van selfspreek en laat dit net so is? All of those things are a miracle. The miracle of the sunrise, the miracle of a flower blooming, the miracle of a child's laugh. Those things are miracles. So one of the ways in which we can miss God and not see God is if we're not looking for God in our lives on a daily basis. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly. Other translations say, if you seek for me with all of your heart. Wat beteken dit? You see, folks, God loves everybody and he pays attention to everybody. Can you say amen? But God is looking for desperate seekers, not casual inquirers. I've said my 30-second, shot up my 30-second prayer up to heaven quickly. You know, God hasn't come through. He hasn't answered my prayer when I wanted it answered, how I wanted it answered, and I wanted it answered yesterday already. So I'm just going to go on with my rest of my life. The scripture requires that we seek God wholeheartedly. What does that mean? That you are serious about your pursuit of the Lord. He's not just one of the ways in which your life is supplemented. You don't make God part of your life. He is your life. You see, you don't try and fit Him into your schedule. He is your schedule. That's when the scripture promises us, if we search for the Lord wholeheartedly, he says, you will find me. So the first way in which God can be missing out of our lives is if we don't seek for him with all our hearts. I've titled this message, what did I title it? Let me just check. Help, I can't find God. Well, my brother, my sister, are you searching for God wholeheartedly? With every fiber of you, are you putting effort into it? Are you making the time when you pray to give God time to answer you back? Are you making the time to listen to what God has to say? Let's say you know people, not in this church of course, but in other churches, that use the Lord's name in vain. Jesus Christ, did you just see what that taxi done? So every time you say Jesus Christ, he's like, yes. Waiting for intimate fellowship with you, and then they'll cut you over here. Oh, for God's sake, man. God's like, yes? Seek the Lord with your whole heart. Point number two. When we have the wrong idea or an incorrect expectation of how God is going to speak to us. I remember when I started growing in the Lord and walking with the Lord, I'd read in the scripture about how God would appear to people. And God would speak to people, and they'd hear His voice, and I'd hear other mature Christians that would speak about, you know, I sense the Lord say this, and the Lord, and I'm like, I want to hear God's voice, and I was desperate to hear God's voice, and I've shared this before. I expected that God was going to speak to me like this. I expected that the wind would blow into my bedroom, and the curtains would blow like this, and I'd hear this voice, Mozzie. This is your father speaking. You see, I had this preconceived idea about how God was going to speak to me. How are you expecting God to speak to you? I know of 8 different ways in which God speaks to people, and I'm not going to go into them in detail this morning. But he always uses at least 2 ways to communicate to you and will differ from person to person. Some people really experience God's voice in the shower, on the toilet. Some people experience God's voice when they see the beauty of nature. Some people experience God's voice in the depths of praise and worship. Some people see and experience God speaking to them by simply reading verse after verse after verse after scripture. Some people see God speaking to them, hear God speaking to them through the way he works in and through brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And then there's dreams and visions and the Spirit of God and prophecies and words of confirmation and all sorts of things like that. But maybe you're looking for God to speak to you in a way which he's not even speaking to you. You're expecting him to send wind into the room with the curtains bellowing in your other's voice. My kind, wat het jy nou net gedoen? Whatever it is. I'll give an example. In 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Konings, ek dink, spreek ek dit reg uit. 1 Konings 19, vers 11 tot 13. The prophet Elijah is busy running away from Jezebel. On his journey, he gets to experience God speaking to him. And in this passage of scripture, he has this voice and says, God says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. Interesting, isn't it? And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. How many times do we pray, Lord, send your fire? Sometimes we pray, Lord, send the rain. Well, we don't know whether we must be on fire or whether we must be drenched in the rain. And ons sien ons nie die Here daar, ons ervaar hom nie. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. It says, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then, after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And listen to this. When Elijah heard it. The sound of a gentle whisper. Some translations say, the still, small voice. Now, folks, only once in my life have I experienced God speak in such a way that I perceived it with my ears, that it felt audible to me, and it was the most frightening thing I've ever experienced, and I don't want God to speak to me like that again. I would rather listen to the still small voice of the Spirit inside. I'd rather see and hear God speaking to me through nature, through meditation in the Scriptures, through a brother or sister giving me a word of encouragement or word of knowledge, than the voice of God. But here we see, perhaps Elijah was looking for God to speak to him in the wrong way. So the second way we can miss God is having a preconceived idea how God must speak to us. Be open and honest before the Lord and say, Lord, Here, hier is ek. Maak met my nes evil. Praat met my nes evil. And be open and sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Is this making sense this morning? Hallelujah. Point number three. When we harden our hearts in sin and remain unrepentant. You see, God is omnipotent, He's all-powerful, but the Holy Spirit is gentle. Hy gaan homself op niemand forceer nie. God's not going to force His presence into your life, or force His ways upon your life. As mighty and as powerful and as awesome as God is, He will not oppose the free will of a human being. He will not go against your free will. In fact, it is our own free will, when we exercise our will, that the Word of God declares by our traditions, we render the Word of God of no effect because of our own free will. Because we created in God's image and He's an agent of His own free will, we have the privilege of exercising our own free will. And God will never, ever, ever go against that. It will deny the very essence of who we are as human beings if God removes our free will from our lives. So if there's willful, deliberate, unrepented sin in my life and my heart is hardened towards the things of God, I won't hear God. I won't perceive His presence. I won't see the work of God in my life. I used this example before, that parents sometimes speak to the children. Say, Kobus, maak skoon jou kamer. Ja, pa. Kobus, maak jy sy kamer skoon nie. Half uur later kom pa daar aan. Kobus, maak skoon die kamer. Ja, pa, gaan dit nou doen. En maak nog steeds nie die kamer skoon nie. Na uur kom pa daar. Kobus, ek het jou gesê, maak skoon die kamer. Ja, pa, gaan dit nou doen. En die vierde keer, daar is nie as ek kom, daar is net. But with God, somebody has once said that it's different. God says, Dion, apologize to that brother. You were out of line. And they answer, yes, Lord. As soon as I'm finished sending these emails, I'll do it. An hour goes by, a day or two, and the Lord is like, Dion, send those emails. Yes, Lord, I will. And then the third time, maybe it's just a thought that comes to his mind. See, somebody suggested that God speaks, and then if you don't want to listen, well. And sometimes, God leaves us up to our own devices to get our attention. So the third way is that if you have an unrepented heart, that God will seem far from you. You cannot find what God is doing in your life. You cannot discern what it is that he's saying to you. We see this example in the life of King Saul, where God speaks and Saul becomes hard in his heart towards the Lord. And then he starts seeking for the Lord again, but in his own way, with an unrepented heart. In 1 Samuel 28 and verse 6, it says, he asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. Why? Because the Here het hom gewip vir Saul. Nee, because Saul was unrepented and had a hard heart, and he didn't want to listen. He didn't want to listen. It has been said that there are two kinds of people all over the whole world. Those that say, yes, Lord, let your will be done. And those to whom God has to say, all right then, have it your way. My brother, my sister, which category do you fall in this morning? Is there an area of your life that you've not repented of? If God is not answering your prayers, ask yourself this question. Wat het jy daaromtrent gedoen aangaande dit wat hy reeds vir jou gesê het? What have you done about what God has already told you to do? And you're already asking God for the next thing and the next thing. Just be obedient to what he's already told you to do. Does that make sense this morning, church? Amen. Point number four. If we become too focused on the good or the bad that's in our life, we can quickly and easily miss God. Folks, there's a lot of drama and heartache and pain and suffering in the world right now, isn't it? And sometimes you go through one difficult thing after the next. And you know, people have said, hey, it doesn't rain, it storms. Or it comes in threes, or it comes in sevens, or I don't know how many it comes in, whatever. Maar it's net een neerslag. It's this, then it's that, then it's this, then, and it seems as if it just doesn't stop. It's very easy in those difficult times to focus just on those difficult times. And then sometimes it's so lacquer that it's quickly, we quickly and easily forget God in our lives. So sometimes when we focus on the things that are bad too much, or focus on the things that are good too much, we can forget what God is saying to us. Proverbs chapter 30. De spreken, hè? Spreken 30, vers 8 tot 9. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs, not my greeds. Big difference. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who's the Lord? And if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. Can you see the balance there, folks? Give me just enough for my needs. Give me neither poverty nor riches so that I don't lose focus of you. I want to say this, that in the light of the challenges that we're facing in the world today, God is the God of light, but he's also the God of darkness. You think, huh? But God is light, Mozzy. How can he be God of darkness? I'm going to prove it to you from Scripture. God is the God of light, but he's also the God of the darkness. Shall we take a look at it in the Scripture? It says this, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness. Everybody say darkness. Darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So where was God? in the midst of the darkness. God is the God of the darkness as well. He's the God of the dark times in your life. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. The Lord went ahead of them, this is the Israelites, on their pilgrimage from Egypt to the promised land. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud. Clouds bring darkness and blocks out the light. And he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And then Jesus, on the cross, several things happened. There was an earthquake. Graves were opened up. People were raised from the graves. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And darkness descended upon the earth. Luke 23 and verse 45 says, the light from the sun was gone. Where was God when Jesus was giving up his spirit on the cross? Right there. Right there. And suddenly, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. God was right there when Jesus died. So God is the God of light, but he's also the God of darkness. And if you're at a place in your life where the challenges and the difficulties that you're going through, you think, my Yero, where are you, Lord? If you could just pitch up, show me, Lord. Speak to me. I saw this picture years ago of an egg was cracked, and it was put on poured out of the shell on a little saucer. And there was a small little, one of those bright little yellow chicks standing next to the saucer with the egg in it, saying, Jimmy, speak to me, please. Well, Jimmy was cracked and poured into it, so Jimmy, asni. God is the God of the light, and he's also the God of darkness. I want to read this passage of scripture just to encourage you by saying this. We cannot outrun or outsin God's love for us. There's no sin that you can do that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away and clean. You cannot outsin the grace of Jesus Christ. We cannot outrun God's love for our lives. Psalm 139, I'm going to read 18 verses this morning. Psalm 139, it's a beautiful passage of scripture. Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. That's encouraging to remind us of the closeness of God. So folks, if you're at a place in your life where you're saying, help, I can't find God. take promises, take courage in these promises this morning, regardless of the difficulties you find yourself in. And to close off with Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39. I'm convinced, everybody say, I'm convinced. You're fully persuaded. There's no longer a doubt in your mind. I'm convinced. It's not a question of ek wonder of die Here nog steeds gaan deurkom vir my ook. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take courage that God is with us, even in the midst of difficult times. I want to pray with you this morning. Perhaps that you're at a place in your life that you feel that you're in this category, that you can't see and perceive the work of God's hand in your life. You cannot hear God's voice. Perhaps you're not looking for Him wholeheartedly in your daily life. Perhaps you're at a place where you have a wrong expectation as to how God must speak. You're expecting the loud voice or handwriting on the wall or thunder and lightning. Perhaps you're at a place where your heart is hard because of hurt, disappointment, pain, people letting you down, loved ones stabbing you in the back. Perhaps you're at a place where you're so focused on the good or the bad that it's difficult for you to perceive God's voice in your life. I want to pray for you this morning. Shall we pray together? Lord, there's such powerful promises in your word that nothing can separate us from your love. And as intimately close as you were to us when we were formed in secret in our mother's wombs, so too are you to us today. To the man, woman, or child, Lord, that seeks for you with their whole heart, they will be found by you. Father, if there's an area in our lives where we have not repented and asked you for forgiveness, we do so now. Here, vergewe ons vir ons menigvuldige sondes, Here. Maak ons vry. Was ons skoon. Here Jesus Christus, dankie vir die bloed wat ons kan reinig en skoon maak. Lord, I thank you that as far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103 and verse 12, so far do you remove our sins and our transgressions from us. Thank you for forgiving us. And Lord, I pray for every precious person that listens to this morning. Give us an increased awareness of your presence in our lives. Holy Spirit, sensitize our spirits to hear you and see the way that you speak in our lives, to recognize the work of your hand, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us to see your supernatural provision, the miracle of life, the miracle of our hearts beating, the miracle of a new day. Help us to see the many gifts you bestow upon us daily, Lord, to see how you're working in our lives. And Father, when we find you, may we obey and follow wholeheartedly. May we allow us, Lord God, to let our hearts be soft, and may we obediently follow in the areas you direct us to. In these challenging times, may we not focus too much on the bad and the difficult. And if it's going good, Lord God, in our lives, may we realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, you, our Father of heavenly lights. And we bless and thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Folks, God bless you. Thank you for making the time to come this morning. Thank you for being the church. Thank you for the ways in which you are encouraging other people, the phone calls, the text messages, whatever. Thank you for the interaction. Thank you for the prayers that you pray for other people. Thank you for making an effort to come. For the folks in this building, the folks next door, for our online audience, God bless you. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May God lift up His countenance over you and be gracious to you. May God give you His peace that surpasses all understanding. Stay safe, stay healthy, love the Lord, love people. Looking forward to seeing you, same time, maybe a different place, next week. Till then, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give yourselves a round of applause this morning. Bless you.